Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called I Dream of Blood by Alex. It's a viewer-submitted story, and so I really hope you enjoy it, and a huge shout-out to you, Alex, for sending this in. I really appreciate it. Let's get started. The night is still, and draped with a thick fog that prevented me from seeing 5 feet ahead of me. In the distance, I could hear the usual nighttime noises from the nocturnal creatures, and I secretly hoped that they were really far away. I didn't have a flashlight with me, so the only light I had to go on was the light from the waning moon, and with the fog out, it wasn't much help. I walked cautiously, taking extra care and ensuring that I didn't stub my feet on anything. I don't remember how I got here, and the sensation I was getting from this place was very surreal, almost as if I wasn't supposed to be here. Walking ever so slowly and trying to feel my way around, I was startled by a rustling noise to my left. I froze on the spot, trying to desperately see whether I could spot any movement, shadow, or anything. No matter how hard I tried, I could not see anything. My heart started beating faster in my chest, and I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck begin to rise. I didn't know what to do. I tried to move, but it seems like I was frozen in the spot where I stood. I turned my head around, trying to see whether I could make out anything in the fog, but it was too thick and it was too dark out. I stood there frozen, a chill filling my body and my stomach, starting to knot up. I knew something wasn't right. I knew that there was someone or something close by. Was it an animal? I tried to call out in the hopes that it was a person who perhaps might be able to help me find my way out of this place, but I couldn't speak. I was only able to move my head. The rustling occurred again, closer and this time behind me. Panic started setting in, but aside from twisting my head from left to right, frantically, there was nothing else I could do. I started feeling beads of cold sweat forming on my forehead, and a tingling sensation shot up and down my spine. I knew that whatever it was that made that noise was really close by. I prayed and hoped that it wasn't a bear or a wolf. I felt an icy cold breath on the back of my neck. I tried desperately to turn around to confront whatever it was, but no such luck. I was still frozen on the spot. The perpetrator made a low, guttural noise, barely perceptible if it hadn't been for the proximity. I started to shake as my nerves began to fire up like the 4th of July, and in a short instant, I felt a breeze fly by my right ear. I was stunned. I didn't really feel anything except warmth oozing down onto my back and chest. I wanted desperately to yell, but as the thought started to manifest in my head, my vision started to blur before everything went dark. I felt for the briefest of seconds my head sliding off of my neck. That was my dream in a nutshell, but it felt so real. I honestly thought I was there. I could feel my heart racing, sweat on my forehead, the chill feeling, and worst of all, I felt my head sliding off my neck. Frank was visibly shaking as he related his story to his friend Joe. Joe, with a bewildered look on his face, asked, "You really felt your head sliding off?" "Yes. Let me tell you, I don't ever want to feel that again. I don't know how or what happened, but man, let me tell you, it felt real. The whole dream, I mean, it felt as if I was actually there. The strangest dream I ever had." Joe and Frank had been friends for over 20 years, and there wasn't much that the two of them didn't share. Joe was always an open-minded person, and Frank knew that he could confide in him, although he wasn't sure whether he could shed any light on what had happened last night. Until now, Frank had led a normal, boring, and sane life. Last night changed all that. It left Frank wondering about how someone could have such a vivid dream, and why. Was there an underlying message that needed to be discovered? The more he thought about it, the more confused he became. Other dreams Frank had in the past were normal by comparison. Even the couple of erotic dreams that he had. Sure, some of them felt more realistic than others, but this one outperformed by a long shot. Frank snapped out of his daze to look at his watch. He had been at Joe's house for over 3 hours, and he realized that he still had some errands to do before going back home. He thanked Joe for his hospitality, and told him that he needed to go take care of some things before it was too late. Joe got up from the table to bring the coffee cups to the dishwasher and walked with Frank to his front door. "Look, Frank, I can tell that this dream has gotten you all shook up, but Just try to take it easy. After all, it was just a dream. Dreams can't hurt you, even if they feel extremely real. Frank politely smiled and said, "Thanks, Joe. I'll do my best to not let it get to me. You're right, it was just a dream. We can probably laugh it off in a few days, and if nothing else, at least I now have an interesting story to talk about." Joe and Frank shook hands as they always do. Then Frank made his way to his car. Pulling out of Joe's driveway, he noticed that Joe's expression had changed to one of concern. Odd that he would show concern now and not while he was relating the story about his dream to him. Frank didn't make too much of it. He was just relieved that he was able to talk to someone about the dream instead of keeping it inside. It made him feel a bit better, even though, for the most part, he was still feeling ill over it. On the drive to run his errands, he kept thinking about the dream, about that thing that cut his head off. What did it mean? Why did he have this dream, and who was that thing? Would it even be possible for him to figure this out? These and more were some of the questions that kept gnawing at the back of his head ever since he woke up from it. With all this thinking, it's a wonder how Frank didn't get into a car accident, or worse still, run someone over. He chastised himself for allowing something like this to affect him so much. He knew about vivid dreams and how some people have said that they feel extremely real, but something about the dream he had was way beyond that. Something really weird and strange. I have to stop thinking about this dream. I have to stop. Frank willed himself to stop thinking about the dream and moved on to what needed to be done. He walked into the grocery store so that he could grab a few things that he had run out of, and then was off to the dry cleaners to pick up the clothes he dropped off a few days prior. He figured that if he kept himself busy, he wouldn't have time to think about the dream and what it might mean. After fulfilling his errands list, he drove back home and planned on just having a quick meal and then throwing on a movie. A perfect Saturday evening, although some would argue that he should go out and meet new people. Frank was never the type to go out to a club on a Saturday night. They were always too crowded and not with the type of people he could see himself associating with. Bars were full of, as a good friend of his liked to say, piss and vinegar. Too much testosterone and too much alcohol typically led to a fun-filled UFC night at a lot of bars. Frank wasn't too keen on that either. He was a simple man, one that enjoyed the little things in life. With dinner done and the evening planned, Frank started to relax and actually look forward to a quiet evening. Already he started to forget about his dream. Divulging it to his friend Joe had helped more than he had anticipated. And maybe also getting the chores done had helped him forget about the absurdity of it all. Enjoying his dinner, taking pride in his culinary skills, Frank was anticipating the two movies he had selected to watch for the evening. A nice glass of wine after dinner, while watching the movies would be the ultimate relaxer, even if it was all just psychological. Sitting in his favorite recliner and sipping on a nice glass of red wine, he pressed play on his remote and began anticipating the horror movies that was about to play. For a split second, though, he actually questioned his logic of watching a horror movie, considering what he had experienced. But it was short-lived, considering there was nothing else he liked watching aside from horror movies, even the B-rated ones. The movie finally started playing after all the annoying commercials that they put, even on the DVDs, and that was his cue to recline and enjoy. He turned off the light that was on the little table next to him and began losing himself in the movie. About halfway into the movie, Frank started feeling drowsy. This wasn't typical behavior for him, especially since he always looked forward to his movie nights. He fought against his body to stay awake, but as more time went on, he realized that he was quickly losing the battle. The night was perfect. The moon was waning. The fog was thick. No one would see me coming. An unsuspecting victim stood frozen like a deer caught in headlights, about 10 feet in front of me. I can already smell the fear oozing out of his pores. Some animals in the area are restless and begin scurrying away. I have yet to come across a living creature that does not fear me. Since I can remember, I have been revered, feared, and even hunted. But no one through the ages has been able to beat me. I don't know exactly what I am. I don't even know how I got here. But I do know that if I am a predator, I feed off of blood and revel in the euphoric state it induces. I've heard whimpers from the humans about my origin, but know better than to believe animals. They have called me a vampire, but I do not exhibit the vampire's weaknesses. I do not fear the light, nor does it weaken me. Blood to me is like a drug to an addict. I don't need it to live, but I must have it. The more terrified the person is, the sweeter the blood tastes. I begin my approach towards the victim. I can now smell the sweat forming on his body. The sweet smell of fear rising from him as his subconscious mind realizes that he is about to die. But his conscious mind denies the reality. The sweat is starting to form on his neck. I can almost taste it. Stealthily, I move closer and closer, waiting for the right moment to strike. When the heart beats at a certain speed and enough adrenaline is pumped into the blood, that is when it's the sweetest. I can see he's trying to fight his paralysis, but all he could move is his head. I stay behind him, waiting a bit longer before I strike, my claw-like hands ready to slice. My need for blood began to reach its peak. I started to feel the withdrawal since my last feeding, and I was starting to visibly shake. I had to do this quickly, or the addiction would get the better of me and I could lose control of my victim. Over the years, I had mastered the ability of controlling my victim's minds enough to prevent them from running away. But if I withheld any longer, I may lose control. I crouched down a bit behind my target, let out a low, predatory growl, and prepared my claws for the attack as I licked my lips in glorious anticipation. No more time wasted. I jumped forward and sliced at his neck quicker than he could have blinked. I heard him gasp a little, then silence. As I looked at him, still behind him, I saw blood forming on his neck where I sliced it. Not too long after that, his head started to slide off of his neck. Blood started raining upwards like a fountain, and I willed his body to continue to stand. I danced around the standing corpse with my head tilted upwards and my mouth as wide as possible, swallowing big gulps of sweet, warm euphoria. My head started to swim with all the pleasure that exploded within me, with each mouthful of blood I drank. I continued this until there was no more blood, which unfortunately didn't take too long. I released my influence on the body and it collapsed to the ground. A spatting of blood dripped out as it hit. My heart raced and my mind swelled with tantalizing sensations. As was my custom after the kill, I would collect the head and bring it back as a trophy. I searched for it and found it only a foot away from where the body collapsed. I bent down and grabbed the head by the hair, lifted it, and turned it so that I could see my latest prize. With a speed like I never experienced before, my high fled me and a new feeling aroused. One of surprise, shock, and horror. I dropped the head back onto the ground and shook my own almost violently. This couldn't be. It was impossible. I dropped to my knees in utter disbelief and I looked at the head once more, nausea beginning to take a hold where once elation was prevalent. I began to feel weaker, my senses losing their sharpness. I could feel myself starting to drain of life and I was powerless to prevent it. I looked at the face, and it was like looking into a mirror. The face was mine. With a shock, more violent than an earthquake, Frank shook in his recliner, sweat pouring down on his face and a chill coursing through his body. If he thought his first dream was bad, then he was deathly wrong. This took the cake by far. He didn't know why he was shaking so much, although the dream he just had would be a good argument as to why. He knew it was only a dream. Must be because of all the horror movies he watched and the books that he read. Eventually, Frank started to feel better. In fact, he started to feel better than he had felt in a long while. He noticed that he'd been out for a couple of hours and essentially missed a good portion of the movie he wanted to watch. He leaned over to his right and turned the light back on and made his way back to the kitchen to pour himself another glass of wine. This time, although he essentially had the same nightmare but from a different perspective, he wasn't as distraught about it. It was weird, but he actually felt a euphoria from the blood drinking. Pouring the red wine stirred a yearning in Frank that he could not explain. He started feeling anxious, even nervous. He swirled the wine around in his glass, staring at it like it was the elixir of life. The anticipation of drinking the wine was unexplainable, but as he took his first sip, he was sadly disappointed. It was getting late, so he decided to skip drinking the rest of the wine and went to bed. In the morning, Frank felt better, but different. He couldn't wait to tell Joe the new revelation. He called him right away and told him what he had experienced the night before. He urged Joe to come over as soon as he could so that he could go over all the details. The doorbell rang, and Frank ran to the door.
Joe, thanks for coming over, man. Do I have something to tell you?
You had the dream again? You said it was different this time, though, right?
Yes,
it was different, all right. This time, the dream was from the perspective of that thing that killed me. It was strange. I felt like him. I mean, I was him. I could see everything and feel everything he felt. And when you know, when he killed me, I mean, when I killed me, I felt the elation. I tasted the blood, Joe, and it felt great.
Whoa, slow down, Frank. You tasted the blood? What do you mean? That thing is a vampire?
Yes. I mean, no. He isn't a vampire. That's what people called him because he drank blood, but he doesn't need blood in order to survive, like the Hollywood vampires or the mythological vampires. He drinks the blood because it's like a drug to him. It puts him into a state of euphoria. Frank related every gruesome detail to his friend Joe, not leaving anything out. By the end of the story, Joe was visibly disturbed. Frank apologized to him for going into so much detail, as he saw his friend was disgusted by it. He got up from the chair he was sitting and told Joe that he was going into the kitchen to get him a beer. While walking to the kitchen, flashbacks from his recent nightmare came flooding back. The visuals, the sensations, the taste of the blood and the feeling he had once he drank the blood. Part of him wanted to run to the washroom and vomit, but part of him reveled in the flashbacks. As he reached to open the door to the refrigerator, he started feeling a bit lightheaded. The room started to spin and his vision was blurring. The last thing he remembered before waking up in his living room was red. He looked around the room, noticed that it was now nighttime, and wondered what had happened. His friend Joe wasn't in the room, and when he called out to him, he got no response. This was strange. How did he end up in the living room when he distinctly remembered heading to the kitchen to get his friend Joe a beer? Frank stood up from his chair and felt a bit shaky. He steadied himself on his sofa and gradually moved towards the kitchen to get a glass of water. When he entered the room, he smelled something very odd, but familiar. What is that smell? He reached for the light switch and turned on the light. A horrific sight greeted Frank when the light bulb burst into life. Joe was sprawled on the floor, his head nowhere to be found, and blood splattered everywhere. Frank was speechless. He didn't know what to do or say. He was stunned. And as he looked around the kitchen, he spotted writing on one wall, "I dream of blood." And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. A huge shout out to Alex for sending this in. Thank you for doing so, because without stories, there would be no channel. So I really appreciate it. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. I really appreciate you. If you'd like, you can come join our Discord and hang out with us. Come say hi. It's growing steadily, actually, which is amazing to see. And I would love to see you there. Also, if you'd like to send in your story, you can go to storiesaftermidnight.com and drop a line. Also, if you're on YouTube, I would love it if you'd liked and subscribed. Maybe leave a comment below to let me know your thoughts. And if you're anywhere else, I'm not sure what your options are, but I know you have a few. And I'd love to hear your thoughts anyway, if you can. Anyways, I appreciate you being here. Thanks for watching or listening. We'll see you in the next one.